Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and also my co-host, Minister Ryan Fountain, and Minister David Clifton. We thank God that we're able to be here on another session. What a blessing it is to be able to be here today. Continue to look in the perfect law of liberty. We want to do like James said. We don't want to just look into the perfect law of liberty, but we want to do something about it. So there's changes that we need to make. We look in the perfect law of liberty. We want to be able to do that. So it's good on today to be able to do just that. And today, for my food for thought, I want to read out of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, and the 10th verse, the 9th verse. Let all nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let us bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who will let it, or who will hinder it?
Amen, amen. Back it up. Add on to that, give you something to think about, to chew on, as they say. Gospel of St. John, chapter number 12, verses number 44 and 45, Jesus says, Jesus cried out and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. And he goes on in the 14th chapter of St. John, verse number 9, and says, I have been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then show us the Father? If Jesus is not the Father, if Jesus is not the God of the Old Testament, then I guess we're going to have to take this New Testament, brothers, and rip it out and not use it anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Very quickly, my food for thought, I want to speak of the so-called church fathers, men such as Justin Martyr, Tertullian, and Polycarp, and those are just among a few. These men were not of the apostolic faith. These men were not of the true church. They were false prophets that led many people astray. These were the originators of the Catholic doctrine. They originated the Trinity. They originated the term Father, Son, Holy Ghost in your Bible. They originated all the false doctrine that goes on in so-called Christianity today. These were the originators of this. And to call them early church fathers is erroneous. and it has no place in our teaching whatsoever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God we're able to keep journeying through the Acts of the Apostles, as we have started a little while back. And we want to endeavor by the grace of God to give you light every week on every religion, so-called, that started after the day of Pentecost. That means it's too late, because the church began at Pentecost, the church that the Lord Jesus Christ established. Last week we gave you a little light on the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, so-called, of Latter-day Saints, and also known as the Mormons. And so this week we want to give you a little light on the church, what a name they have, and they don't even know nothing about him. And that is, they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. And this church was started by Charles T. Russell in 1852 to 1916, and led after in 1916 by Joseph F. Judge Rutherford, 1869 to 1942. Its members are opposed to war and refuse to accept the authority of any government in matters of religious conscience. Formerly called International Bible Students Association, or Russellites. So we know the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't know who Jehovah is at all, because they don't give deity to Jesus Christ. So therefore, they're that spirit that the Bible say that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So what they really are, to make it plain, are anti-Christ.
Amen.
That's what they really are.
Amen.
So we endeavor to give you the truth by the grace of God, and that's what we're going to do. So that church started too late, because the church that Jesus Christ established started on the day of Pentecost. And we know that the Lord, as we've been endeavoring to show you, that the Lord has order. And so the Apostle Peter was the one that he gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 16 and 18. And he said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, talking about himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he goes on to say, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he also said, we've been taught to pay very close attention to repetition. So you go over in the 18th chapter of Matthew, talking about church government, he makes the same statement again. He says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That means exactly what it says. So the church has binding and loosing power. So we're going to continue on here. We left off in the book of Acts, and I want to go up a little bit. We get the verse 38 of the fifth chapter. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. You know what we said, if you were following us on last week, you can't win against God. And to him they agreed, when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, but let them go. And we notice we're being a little redundant here. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So we were letting you all know, if you were listening on last week, that it's a blessing, that we know we're going to suffer for his name's sake. And then that other scripture, we're going to suffer for his sake. I believe it's Philippians 1 and 29. On the behalf of Christ, we not only just to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. In that particular scripture, he doesn't say his name's sake, but we're still suffering for him. So they knew what it meant to suffer for the name of Jesus. And they were the very ones who died horrible deaths, all because of the name of Jesus. Now these apostles nowadays, I wonder how many are be willing to be crucified upside down, or to be skinned alive, or to be thrown off of the temple headlong, or to be burned, or some of the horrible, or to be sawn in sunder, hooked up to a horse, one half and the other half, and let them pull you in half. That's an apostle. They died horrible death. Only reason why John didn't die, they tried to boil John in oil and get rid of him. But John, the Bible said, when he gave his testimony, he said, I was in the isle that is called Patmos. He was a testimony. He was in there in that isle to be a witness on the Lord's day. So John had to live because the Lord gave him the revelation of Jesus Christ. So all those things that he saw in the end time, he had to be an eyewitness of those things that he saw. So we're continuing on here. We're going to start off today in the sixth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And incidentally, these are not the first deacons. The historians who did put these scriptures together and everything, they got that wrong. They were not deacons. You can see what the qualifications of a deacon are when you go to Timothy and you go to the book of Titus and you see what they were.
Amen. Oh, no.
Okay. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Pharmenes, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they stubborn men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came unto him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. We heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So we can see that, like we were saying before, how the word of God is quick. It's alive. It's like a sword. And just like how it pricked them on the day of Pentecost, the word is the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It will get you. And it'll, like they said, it'll do one or two things. It'll make you shouting glad, or it'll make you fighting mad. And so, and if we have been taught, you haven't preached until you made them mad.
Amen.
So you stepped on some toes.
And like I said, Stephen was one of the seven men that were chosen to serve the bread, along with Philip, who was an evangelist, so he wasn't a deacon. As Elder Kenneth said, these were not deacons, these were preachers. And Stephen debated with these men and confounded them. They could not answer his questions. They could not come against his doctrine, because when he was going against them, he was using the scriptures. He was using the scriptures and showing how Jesus fulfilled the law and how he didn't change the customs. He transcended the customs. The customs were of old. It was Old Testament. This is a whole New Testament now that we're dealing with. And Stephen was simply showing these men that these customs that they made were in fact not of Moses. They were of Jewish heritage. They were passed down through the priests and whatnot. And these were Jewish customs. These weren't Mosaic customs that they were all doing. And so they could not come against him because he was using scripture on them. And so when they couldn't out scripture him, that's when they went and lied on him, because they said that they brought false witnesses. So the only way that they could get this man and try him was to bring lies and slander against him. Amen?
Right.
Amen. And let me add this on to it. The problem is not so much that these men were speaking and teaching about the man Jesus. It was more because of whom they were saying Jesus was.
Uh-huh.
This is what was really offending these people. And if I could just backtrack to earlier when Elder Cannon was speaking about the Jehovah's Witnesses and a lot of other religions that we have, they all have an opinion of whom Jesus is. If you can remember when Jesus was speaking with the apostles, he asked them, who do the people say that I am? And there was many different opinions. And then more importantly, he asked them, whom do you say that I am? So Jesus is concerned about his people knowing who he is. And here's another problem that you can find with the Jehovah's Witness, what a lot of people may not know. Number one, they will say, as a lot of Trinitarians do, that Jesus was not God in the flesh, but that simply Jesus was a God or another God. But here's a fact that a lot of people may not really understand is they actually would teach that Jesus is actually the Archangel Michael. You have the Muslims who they believe in Jesus. They teach Jesus, but they say that he was just merely a prophet. So you have to understand that us as apostolics, when we talk about Jesus, we are in fact talking about God. It was just simply God manifested in the flesh. And we have people that come up against us.
Mm-hmm.
We use the scriptures to back up what we say. Once you use the scriptures, then you have to find out that it's not me that you're fighting against. Now you're fighting against the word. So here is an example of what was going on with Stephen. They contested with him about whom Jesus was. He used the scriptures to prove that he was, in fact, who he said he was. One of the things that Jesus had to do was to fulfill the law. So once this brother whooped these religious folks with the scriptures, they had nothing else to do. All they could do was lie on them. So understand that this is some of the persecution that he was going to receive on behalf of Jesus, not because he was teaching false doctrine or anything like that, but because the religious hypocrites did not want to agree with him on whom he was saying Jesus was. So again, we have to understand that these brothers at the time was using the Old Testament scriptures. So a lot of us, we may try to prove whom Jesus is through the New Testament scriptures. I have no problem with that. But a lot of the revelations that you will get about Jesus the Christ comes out of the Old Testament. Jesus, in fact, fulfilled everything the scripture said about God.
Yes.
Amen.
And he is, just like he, Minister Clifton just said, that Jesus is the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When he asked him, whom say ye that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he let him know flesh and blood had not revealed it unto him, but my Father which is in heaven. And that's when he was told him, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And then he let him know, he gave him binding and loosing power. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. So we can see here, people get upset, but he, just like Jesus said, he didn't come. He said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law.
Amen.
And so that's what he said here when he was talking to Nicodemus, who was the ruler. He said, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how should you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's what the whole gospel message is about. And here it is right here, what a lot of people don't like. Just like they're talking about, they felt so condemned that they had to set up false witnesses and lied. But Jesus changed things when he said, it hath been said, but I say.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody can speak like that but the Lord himself.
And when he says that it hath been said, it doesn't say that it has been written. That's what tradition was saying. But I say, and when Jesus speaks, the word of God is speaking. So when he says, but I say, it's saying it is written. Because Jesus spoke everything that was written, because he's the one that wrote it. He's the one that spoke it. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Okay, so then said the high priest, are these things so? He asked the question. And he said, Stephen, men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan. And said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee. So see, right here, just like we have been saying, this is reference. This is back in the book of Genesis when the Lord spake unto Abraham.
Amen.
So this man, Stephen, is referring back to the scriptures.
Yes, and he, in fact, he goes through the history of Israel, and he talks about three main characters in the Old Testament being Abraham, Joseph, and also Moses, and talks about how they were all leading up unto this man, Jesus Christ. So as we go on and as we read on, he talks about how these men had faith and how these men were moved with faith and walked with God. But then as time went on, Israel was stiff-necked and did not listen and did not take heed unto God's warnings and did not take heed unto the prophecies that spoke of Jesus Christ. And that's why they did not see Jesus Christ when he came.
Yes. And then every one of you that try to throw Jesus away, it's just like you drinking coffee. Your coffee end up just being sugar water.
Uh-huh.
You got cream and sugar in water. You threw the coffee out. That's the main ingredient is Jesus.
Yes.
And just like the so-called, they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. And we know, like I've said before, after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible. You got to know who he is. And if Jesus of the Old Testament, Jehovah of the Old Testament, or the I Am, all those names that he had, he is the Jesus of the New. That's why the angel said, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it's talking about, the Bible letting us know about the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, he was concealed. But in the New Testament, he is revealed.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just some prophet. People don't want to give deity to Jesus. And one of the main scriptures that group, the Jehovah's Witness, use is in the book of Peter. They don't want to believe that the earth is going to be burned up. And one that I used to work with said to me, why would God destroy the earth that he made? I said, the word of God says he is, and I'm not going to argue with it. And Peter said that the earth is going to melt with fervent heat. The things therein shall be burned up. He said, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So God is going to literally burn the earth up. And then if you all, you got TVs and radios, and you've been paying attention to what's going on overseas, and it's enough under this earth to destroy us right now. There's lava down there, that volcano that erupted, and all that ash. And I've said before, I'll say it again, God's weapons are the elements. You can read in the 38th chapter of Job. Says he's got treasures of snow and hail reserved against the day of battle and war. There's another one. That ash, when that stuff gets going thick enough, it will get in airplanes' engines like sand and shut down the engines. So don't tell me God ain't in control. He can just stir up a little element that's on the earth, and shut everything down. And so right now they're scrambling to try to get people where they want to go. And why am I saying this? Because you don't want to miss the rapture. This is just a little foretaste of some of the things that's going to happen.
Now, speaking of the rapture, speaking of Jehovah's Witnesses, they have a doctrine that when Charles Taj Russell was living on this earth, he made a prophecy of the second coming of the Lord, and he predicted it in, I believe, the year 1911. And as all other false prophets, his prophecy failed. So now, let's see, if you call yourself a prophet and you speak a word of prophecy, you are indeed speaking for God, correct? So God says that my word shall not return unto me void, it shall do all that it pleases. It shall accomplish everything that it pleases. So now, if God was speaking through this man and this man's prophecy failed, that means God wasn't speaking through this man, right?
Right.
But he then changed it. He changed the prophecy and said that the second coming would happen in 1914. And once again, that second coming didn't happen. So then he changed it again and said that the second coming was indeed a spiritual second coming, not a literal second coming, which is not what the Bible teaches at all. The Bible teaches that the heavens will roll back as a scroll and the Son of Man shall descend down, it says, on a white horse with his armies. So now, if it's a spiritual second coming, that totally takes out those scriptures in the Bible. So now, you have changed the word of God. That again shows that this man was not a prophet of God. This man was not of God. He was of his own mind. He changed the scriptures in order to fit his teaching, because the King James Version of the Bible did not fit his teaching and what he wanted to say, so he changed it and interpreted the Bible himself and changed words and changed context of words and so that he could form this teaching and form a following. And there's many other things that he taught. We've all dealt with Jehovah's Witnesses in the past, and we've heard their doctrine, we've heard what they have to say. And there's so many things that are against the scriptures.
Yes. And so it's okay. Just like people, they come to your door. So you're going to, these bodies are going to go back to the dust.
Mm-hmm.
One way or another. Just Enoch, there's only a few. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. He was translated that he should not see death. The Bible doesn't contradict itself when it says, and as it once appointed unto men to die, and after this, the judgment, says Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Didn't say he didn't die. He didn't see it. So, literally, the Lord is going to come back. His appearing is when he's going to take the church away. And that is, we call the rapture. But the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we with our lives, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Wherefore, soever shall we be with the Lord. He goes on to let us know to comfort one another with these words. Now, his literal second coming, when he comes back, he's coming back. He's going to literally come back in Jerusalem, step foot on the Mount of Olives and split that in half. He's coming. He's coming back. He's not coming back as the meek and humble lamb, but he's coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah.
And he's going to have his armies with him. And that means that the saints is coming back with him, because I believe it's in Jude, he says that he brings back his saints with him.
Yes.
So we are going to be with him in the second coming.
Yes.
So to say that there's no rapture, that means that how are we going to come back with him out of the heaven if there's no rapture of the church before the tribulation period, amen?
Right, so it's no thing, people thinking, this earth ain't going to be cleaned up. He's not talking about that. I mean, people are so caught up in the environment. Some folks don't want you to put fertilizer down on your grass, just let it all burn up. I mean, they're crazy with this stuff. And, you know, we created a lot of stuff. Some of these bags that they got, that shopping bags, they won't disintegrate. We did all that. You know, they left the paper bag, and so We can't worry about all that, but the most important thing that a human being has is your soul. We didn't bring nothing here. We ain't going to take nothing out of here. So folks are so worried about that's the whole problem right now. While people are doing whatever they can to get ahead, as they call it, to get those Georgie boys, them dollar bills, as they say. And they'll do all kinds of crooked stuff and all these things that are going on. And there's nothing but the Lord himself pulling the cover off of folks to show you who they really are. And Jesus spake those words and said that you cannot serve God and mammon. And we know that mammon is money. So the Bible don't say, people say money is the root of all evil. The Bible don't say that. But in 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some of them have coveted after have erred from the faith, have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's even folks who knew the truth have coveted after money. So the love of money is the root of all evil. So in other words, greediness. That's why we got places like these casinos popping up everywhere. And that's the word. They should have left them casinos in hell where they came from. They have ruined more people. The daily four and the double daily. All of this, the three digit and all this stuff. All this money, and they claim they're helping the schools and all of that. And folks are still going under. So that's just a lie. They're just fattening the people, the owners of these casinos and these kinds of things are just getting fat off of poor folks' money because they're thinking God's going to bless them to hit the lottery, which is not true at all. So we go on here, and he said unto him, verse 3 in chapter 7 of the Acts of the Apostles, he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I will show thee, speaking of Abraham. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell, and he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, which as yet he had no child.
That's interesting to note that Abraham didn't get the inheritance. Abraham did not receive the land.
Right.
But he got a promise. And that is what we have for heaven. We have a promise that we are going to get to heaven. We have a promise that we are in a place. We are in heavenly places. That's what we're living on is a promise. And that's what he's pointing out, that Abraham did not get the inheritance. Abraham did not get the, as you say, the deed of the land. He did not give him that land. He just promised it under his seed.
Yeah. Yeah,
that would come after him.
Right, and we know that his seed was, like the Bible said, in Isaac. Shall you're going to be blessed in Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Esau, Isaac, was the one, the promise.
Not Ishmael.
Ishmael was born after the flesh, and was the seed after the flesh, and Isaac was the seed after the spirit. They're persecuting one another, even so now as it all is. Him that is born after the flesh is persecuting him that is born after the Spirit. Even so now it is. So, and God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, that it should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage, who will I judge, said God. And after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, made him governor over Egypt and all his house. There came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Chanan and great affliction, and our fathers found no substance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brother, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers. So it's amazing how this man is getting all of this history and going back and telling them.
Amen.
Now these individuals, they knew about this Jewish history.
Mm-hmm.
Down in that land.
And again, it shows that when he's speaking of Joseph, you had to know that Joseph only did what he did, and he only made it because, like you said in verse 9, God was with him.
Yes.
Because there was many times where Joseph had the odds against him, and that Joseph should have, he had an opportunity, his brothers had an opportunity to kill him. He was sold into slavery. Potiphar had an opportunity to kill him. He instead threw him in the jail. He threw him in the dungeon. There's many opportunities where Joseph was not supposed to make it, but he did because God was with him and God showed him favor and delivered him out of every one of his afflictions. And that's what he does in our case also as Christians, that everything that we go through, if God is with us, he will deliver us out of all our afflictions. And this is simply what he's explaining unto the Jews, that Abraham had faith, Joseph had faith, and we'll read on that Moses had faith also.
Yes, and see, God's word is true. I want to just pause here right quick. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566.
And if I could just add on to what Minister Fountain is saying, what we have to understand is while we're reading the seventh chapter, we have to understand that this brother is actually preaching a message.
Yes. Yeah.
This is a sermon. So I know we don't see him hacking and we don't see him telling them people to slap fives and say amen. And we'll find out at the end of this message that the listeners of this message was not amening and screaming and shouting.
Right.
But understand that this brother is number one, he's preaching a message. And it's at the end of the message where he's going to condemn those that are listening. Right now, as Minister Fountain says, he's talking about those that had faith and actually died in faith. And as we move on, as Elder Cannon is going to pick back up, he's going to begin to talk about Israel and their unbelief. And then towards the latter end, we'll see that Stephen's actually going to compare Israel to these religious hypocrites here, saying that just as Israel did not believe, they didn't believe. And you have
yeah.
to understand that the foundation of this message is Jesus.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, and that's what we got to do as people of God nowadays. You say you believe in Jesus, then do what he said. Because the worst sin in the Bible is unbelief. And we see that in the book of Hebrews says, so you see, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And even Jesus says he did not many mighty works among them because of their unbelief. He marveled because of their unbelief. So you got to believe the gospel. So we're saying nothing but what the word says. And so, folks, I wouldn't worry about what folks is going to say. The baptism in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be standing before God for myself, away with y'all. Ain't nobody else going to be there. Yeah, if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for her, I would have got baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, there's no excuse. You know where to go get baptized in the name of Jesus. You have the Holy Ghost. You need to escape. You need to do like Nicodemus did. Go to the church by night if you have to. Save your soul is what you need to do. And see, if God be for us, that's why Apostle Paul said, what he was literally saying, since God is for us, who can be against us? We can see here how the protection of God, how God protected all these people. He protected Moses. He protected Joseph. All of those that he had his hand on, nothing could happen because God is the one that sees, like you say, his eye is on the sparrow, you know, and he's watching us. So not a sparrow going to fall to the ground without him knowing it. And we're much more valuable than birds is what he's saying. So we go on here and he gave covenant, the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac, we already read that part, yes. And anyway, the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, made him governor over Egypt and all his house. There came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Shinan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no substance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And the second time Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 70 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers. But anyway, we can see here, when you read in the book of Genesis, you read about all of these things,
And it's as though you are there, because it had been years that since these things had happened, and this man was favored, Joseph. He had a coat of many colors. They lied to their father that some beast had killed his son, and their father was very distraught over that. He thought his son was dead. And that's why he made a statement once. He said, all these things are against me. But anyway, the Lord let him see that his son was still living before he gave up the ghost. And we were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money, and the sons of Emor and the father of Shechem. But when the time of promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose who knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and went, would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one to another? But he did that, his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? So Moses fled at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, when he begat two sons. So Moses was afraid, because he didn't think nobody saw him when he smote that man and killed him.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to note that Moses was learned in all the ways of the Egyptians.
Yes.
And it says he was mighty in words and in deeds. And I know it's a popular teaching among many ranks that Moses had a stuttering problem or a speech impediment, because he says that I'm slow of tongue.
Right.
And that is not true, because it says right here that he's mighty in words and in deeds.
Right.
And he could not go before Pharaoh because he was a criminal in the eyes of Pharaoh, because he slew the Egyptian. And he would not be accepted by Israel because he was not raised as an Israelite. So he had a dilemma in between on he really would not be received at that time. That's why Aaron had to be chosen as his spokesperson. But after he took the children of Israel on the Exodus, after they went across the Red Sea, after that it says that Moses spake the word of the Lord. The Lord spoke through Moses. And Moses was the spokesperson. Aaron no longer was the spokesperson for Moses. Moses spoke for himself after they went into the Exodus. Amen.
Yes. So that God just took away his excuses. That's it. He didn't want to deal with Pharaoh. That's why he said, "I'm slow. You know, my tongue is slow. I'm not." He was making excuses.
Yes.
So somebody say, just because we could call ourselves whatever, and really. We should be critics of our own selves. That's the other end of that pride. Some people think they can do it all, but we can do nothing without him.
There was three distinct periods of 40 years in Moses' life, and this was the first 40 years when he was in Egypt, and then he fled. And now then you have your second 40 years when he was in Midian, and that's where he was trained to be a shepherd. Read that. Going
Exodus,
on,
yeah.
And then the third 40 years was when he led the children of Israel in the wilderness.
Right, and he was a mighty man of God, and the Ten Commandments that's on television at Easter time does no justice to the man that Moses was.
Yes.
It's almost it's an insult, almost to this mighty man of God.
Yeah. Outside of Jesus Christ, Moses was one of the probably the greatest man that lived on this earth. He had more revelation than the other man outside of Jesus Christ.
Yes, he was. The Bible said that there rose not a prophet like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. This man was a mighty man of God.
Yeah.
I mean, he talked to the Lord. He went up in the mount.
Mm-hmm.
Moses' face shone so that he had to put a veil over his face.
Yeah.
We read that in the second Corinthians, the fourth chapter. They couldn't even look on the face of Moses. He was a mighty man of God. But he let those people get to him, and when instead of speaking to that rock for that water to come out, he smote the rock and called the people rebels. So folks will get to you if you let them. But he was a mighty man of God, and he's so mighty, he's coming back, him and Elijah, during the tribulation period. And only the Lord knows where Moses is buried at, because he buried him.
Mm-hmm.
And you read the book of Job, says that the Satan disputed with Michael the archangel about the body of Moses. So Moses was a mighty man of God. So it don't matter. God got his. That's why Paul would say that. Since God is for us, who could be against us? So God's got our back, and ain't nobody watching his back. And that's who you want watching your back. So Moses was a mighty man of God. And so they didn't like it. And then a lot of people, they don't want you to give credit or allegiance to another man that was a great man that had influence on folks. But God deemed it to be so. He was a mighty man of God. And said, shows you God is a forgiving God. Yeah, he slew a man. That was before God got done with him.
and I guess understanding another thing, as Elder Cannon was saying, how great of a man Moses was. Number one, understand that he was trained before he actually became this great man. Back in the wilderness, understand that God had this man's life planned out before he knew what was going on. But as Minister Fountain read, and we'll further read that, he spent 40 years as a shepherd in the backwoods. So that, in a natural sense, was teaching him how to be a shepherd or a pastor or a ruler. See, God was preparing him. And once he was prepared, we'll read on how he had the encounter with the burning bush to go back to Egypt to get the people out. But also understand that the Bible, another thing that the Bible says about Moses is that he was very meek, or the meekest of all men. He was one of the meekest, or the meekest man, or humble, as we would say, on the earth. So all the revelation that this brother had, I mean, he is said to have wrote the first five books of the Bible. We know that the latter end of the last book he could not have wrote because he was dead. But all this revelation knowledge that he had, he was still a very humble man.
And that's disputable, because he had so much revelation that God could have showed him his death, and he written out his own death and then handed it on to Joshua.
Right. Amen. Just like the beginning. In the beginning, God, like I say, I like the way someone put it, but one thing about it, there was nobody back there in the beginning but God. As it is said, there was only one witness on the stand, and that was God himself.
Yes.
So that was a revelation. You know, the Bible said that he made, in the book of the Psalms, he made known his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of men. To make known is revelation.
Yes.
God gave it to him. So God is a mighty God. So that's what people don't understand. You know, they keep talking about Neanderthal man and all this foolishness. Like we couldn't, you know, it took us a while to stand up. That's stupid. You just like a baby. Some babies walk at 8, 9, 10 months, maybe a year or whatever. It ain't taking them long. They moving along all the time. That's an insult.
Yeah.
The gorilla and the monkey, they still can't walk straight. They bent over because God made them that way. That's an insult. We wasn't no ape or none of that foolishness. We were a man, and Adam was made a full-grown man when God made him. He wasn't a baby. He never sucked the breast or a bottle or none of that. He never learned. He didn't have to be potty trained or none of that. He didn't wear diapers. He was a full-grown man. So that's an insult, some of the stuff these people coming up with, these so-called theories, and that's all it is a theory.
Amen.
Moses is a mighty man of God. So we see here, 40 years were expired. There appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire. And I want to let you know something. Like, that was literally the Lord himself. Our God is a consuming fire. when he saw that, and he wondered at that sight, because that bush was burning, and it was not consumed. And only God can do that. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And he drew near to behold it, and the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt. I have heard their groaning, and I'm come down to deliver them. And now, come, I will send thee into Egypt. And Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared unto him in the bush. He brought them out after he had showed them wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. That is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. Here it is right here. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, which mm-hmm. the angel spake unto him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers, whom received the lively oracles to give unto us. And anyway, here, like in the Old Testament, it said, he said, I would declare thy name in the great congregation. That was the word church wasn't used back then, but it was the congregation. And that's why he was saying that this is he that was in the church in the wilderness. The congregation of the children of Israel was the church in the wilderness, mm-hmm. which he led in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That's the way God chose to do it. And so, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him out from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we would not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the work of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god, Raphaim, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of the wilderness, of the witness in the wilderness, as had he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which our fathers that came after bought in with Jesus in the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David.
And you must note that Jesus right there is talking about Joshua. That name is very similar in the Hebrew.
Yes.
The name Jesus is a transliteration
yes.
of the name Yeshua or Yahashua. In the Hebrew.
Right.
In the Greek.
Right. Because there's about five different Jesuses in the Bible. Jesus who is called Justice. There's a number of them in the New Testament. And so that's why they said that, are you Jesus the Christ? So there was a distinction.
Yes.
So who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob? But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things? So this is the part of this sermon right here, which Minister Clifton has told you about, we're coming up on right here. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before out of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly in the heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witness laid down And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And you will hear that. That's when Jesus was saying, they didn't know who he was. He said, he's not the God that by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, he's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. So this is when so what he did was, Stephen didn't die. As we would say, he fell asleep because he's sleeping in the Lord. So we got about 4 minutes left.
Okay. Well, we park our car here. It says that they resisted the Holy Ghost just as their fathers did. So that means that the Holy Ghost existed before Acts 2, before he was in Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost was the Spirit of God. He is. There's only one Spirit.
Yeah.
And that Spirit was around in the time of Israel when Moses was leading them. And they resisted him back then because he spoke of the prophet. And it says that every other prophet that spoke of Jesus Christ, the just one, they resisted them also and persecuted them and did many, many terrible things unto the prophets. They killed pretty much all the prophets.
Right. So he's speaking of him in their terms where they can understand it. You resist the Holy Ghost, so you resisted the Lord. You resisted Jehovah. You resisted God. You resisted the I Am, the same one. Some people try to act like they don't know what you're talking about. When you say you have the Holy Ghost, you say, yes, I have the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues.
And we have
and
to
they,
talk about... Oh.
Yeah, and they say, some will say, I ain't spoken no tongues. Well, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance.
Amen. Next week we have to briefly discuss about Jesus standing on the right hand of God.
Yeah.
Because that is a very confusing scripture, especially under Trinitarians, that how is Jesus standing on the right hand of God and he is God. But so we can next week we can open up with that and explain that and talk about that scripture.
Yes, yes. So that's why we tried to start off with the Godhead to try to give some understanding that God is one and his name is one. Yeah. We know our time is just about gone.
Amen.
But that don't even make sense. He got his hand out. They don't understand the place of authority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Bible said, he searched when he could find none, and he bought salvation with his own arm. So, and the arm of the Lord is Jesus, when you read in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. But anyway, we'll get back into that next week. So we hope we're given understanding. So like we say, that they didn't preach Jesus out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They preached him out of the law, out of the prophets, and out of the Psalms. So everybody was given witness about Jesus coming. And that's what in Deuteronomy, when they said that Moses said spake and said, prophets shall the Lord your God raise up like unto me, him shall ye hear. So we know Moses is a type of Christ. He even had the asked the Lord to blot his name out of the book. And Moses was a sacrifice himself. He stood in the way to help others that God wouldn't kill them. He was going to sacrifice himself. That was in his heart to do so because he was a true man of God. How many people nowadays want to lay down their life? They don't. Oh, no. They ain't going to let you wear them out. And they're not doing their job, many, like they should. Because they did, they would be telling you the truth. Because just like John the Baptist, it really was one that told the truth. And that was, he said that he must increase and I must decrease. That's what we got to realize as people. So we thank you. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry on today. We hope this word has been a blessing unto you. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit,
seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.